Hi, Rick.
Hi, how are you? Sashi, well?
I am well, man. Thank you. Are you in England today?
Yeah, a very, very hot England. It's the hottest temperature on record. It's unbearable.
Man, I heard that. I heard it was 105 degrees Fahrenheit in France, but you're getting close to 40 Celsius there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's the hottest ever on record.
Wow.
It is just, it's absolutely unbearable. I mean, us Brits aren't used to this.
No.
And we moan, and then when we get hot weather, we moan again.
Ah, well, does anyone have air conditioning?
No, it's unheard of in England.
Right.
Air conditioning is called open the window.
Ah, yeah.
And the thing is, the air conditioning companies will sell so many over the coming week or week or so. And the truth of the matter is, they'll be selling it and making a fortune, and all people will be using it maybe twice a year.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I just sit in the kitchen with the fridge door open.
Wow. You know what? It's really hot here, man. I never thought of doing that. That's a pretty good idea. That's really good.
Unfortunately, it sort of makes everything in the fridge go off, but there you go.
Yeah, unless you could eat fast and drink it up. Rick Wakeman.
That's true.
Hey, man, I love that you're on. You're a character that I just love. I know that you have a lot of fun in England outside of the musical stuff you do. You show up on talk shows and stuff, too, don't you?
Yeah, I do a lot of talk shows, chat shows, quiz shows, comedy shows.
That's cool.
Yeah, very often. I've been doing that for cracking over 30 years now. And it's just great fun. It wasn't something that was deliberate. It started really with a chat show back in the sort of early mid 80s, where I'd been to it was the early 80s, I'd been to Russia. This is before the Berlin Wall came down and before all of that, and I'd got arrested.
I got arrested,
just a minor offense. I stole a KGB uniform, and I got into serious trouble.
Right.
And I eventually got out and got back to England because there was no diplomatic relations between the USSR and England at the time. And I must admit, I was a bit worried, more than a bit worried, as they locked me up. But I got home. It's a long story. I got home through the normal diplomatic ways, which is called corruption and bribery. And I got home, and I was booked to appear on a chat show on a Saturday evening in England, which was called Danny Baker After All.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Baker was still is our David Letterman, kind of. It was the number one chat show.
Mm-hmm.
So I got booked on it, and I took the uniform with me. And Danny is a great friend of mine, and he said, you've got to bring it on. And I said, okay. And then the producer of the program came to me before the program. She said, we haven't got time for all of that. You're only going to have 2 minutes because Danny is just going to ask you about what it's like touring at the moment. I went, oh, right. So the program was pre-recorded and then edited for, it was pre-recorded at 7 o'clock and then shown at 11 in the evening. I thought, well, that's a bit of a shame. 2 minutes of boring talking about touring, and I've got this KGB uniform here and a silly story of how I was arrested at Moscow airport, and so I thought I'm gonna go for it, nothing to lose. So I put the uniform on, and when I was announced for the prize, I just marched on. Now Danny's a good mate, and we just went for it, and we spoke for like 20 minutes. It was absolutely hilarious.
Wow.
And then at the end of it, I thought, well, that's probably the last TV I'll ever get to do. This is about, 1981, 82 or something. And I went back to my dressing room, and the producer came in. It was a lady called Caroline. She's a nice lady, and she said, well, thank you very much. I said, I'm really sorry. I said, it wasn't really meant to happen like that. And she said, you've given me so many problems now. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. She said, no, you don't understand. She said, I can't cut any of it. I'm going to use the whole lot in the program. It just means that three of the other guests are going to get cut out, and they're not going to be happy. I went, oh, right. And it was shown, and literally that on the Saturday night, and then on the Monday, my agent's phone and my own phone just didn't stop ringing. Will you come and do this comedy show? Will you come and do this?
Wow.
Come and do this quiz show, and that's what, and it just became nuts after that, and that's really what, you know, what launched it. So I've got my great friend, he's still a great friend now, Danny Vega. I've got, and it, but it was one of those things, it wasn't planned.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes some of the best things happen when they're not planned.
You're right. You're right about that. And I mean, in England, I love the English TV attack. I liked Kilroy. Kilroy had I Was a Mugger and had these dudes in like silhouette, and one of them was a mugger. And it was like,
yeah,
that was the show.
It was great. I did the Kilroy show a few times.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, he was all right. He became a member of the European Parliament disastrously. But then they took his program off because it was discovered that that nothing to do with him, I hasten to add, but some of his research team were putting plants in there. They were putting people who were sort of deliberately telling stories and things that weren't actually true.
Actors.
And that cost the program. So that went. And do you know what? I've got no idea what he's doing now. As I say, he was a member of the European Parliament for a bit, and they just disappeared off the planet. But I did a few of those programs. They're hilarious.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, I love it. I mean, you just let it all hang out. That's the best part. Hey, Rick, it's going to be really fun. The Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour. You don't sound grumpy at all to me, but it's going to be great. You kick it off here.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the grumpy thing came about because there was a very successful TV series in England called Grumpy Old Men.
Right, yeah.
And I was part of that series, and I was lucky enough to be on every single program. And I ended up as being, everywhere I went, being called a grumpy old man.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of stuck, and it was really quite weird. And then a couple of, a big publishing house said, hey, write a book. So I wrote a book called Grumpy Old Rockstar, which to my amazement got into the bestsellers. And then they said, do another one. So I wrote another one called Further Adventures of a Grumpy Old Rockstar. And that did really well as well. So the sort of the whole grumpy and grumpy old man and grumpy old rockstar thing sort of stuck. And when we came to, like, I've been doing a piano tour with lots of silly stories in the UK for many years now, different sorts. And when my agent in America saw it in England, he said, you have to bring this to America. You really do. So, and he said, but he knew about the books and about the TV program. He said, I know the program was never shown over here. He said, we've got to call it the Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour. I said, okay, I don't mind what you call it. You know, I'm fine with that. So that's how it became the Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour.
Well, you're going to need your own time. I guess you're doing this an evening with, right? Because you're used to doing that with Yes and your other work, but this is, you know, a time where you get to be personal.
Yeah, it's great fun. I mean, I do. I have the grand piano. I play music that I've been involved with over the years, which obviously includes Yes, the likes of David Bowie, Cat Stevens, and a few others. And
right.
I do music that's influenced me over the years. But the great thing about just doing it on piano, you know, I can sort of like break it right down and show how it was first written and how it was done. And then I intermingle it with completely ludicrous stories, which all have a semblance of truth to them. But maybe on occasions they might just go a little bit astray.
Well, this is Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts, and it's a decent-sized place for this exact thing, man. It's like an auditorium with a balcony, and plenty of people will be able to see you good, and this is going to be fun. You can get tickets now. Go to go check out Maryland Hall for the Creative Arts. Ticketfly's got the tickets, and Rick Wakeman is with us. Look, it's so great. I met you on the Union Tour. What did you think of that, and how did that feel to everyone?
I loved it. It was hilarious because I wanted to say it was the Love Boat.
Uh-huh.
Because it was for me. I mean, I just loved every minute of it, and I sort of got on with everybody, really, and I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
But there certainly was a little bit of how can we put this? A little bit of animosity floating around with some people, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. In fact, what I used to do sometimes on stage, I'd get some white tape, and I'd put some white tape down the middle of the stage. Not when we were on the round stage. I could only do it if we were on a flat stage, which happened sometimes. And I just wrote on one side East Berlin, on the other side West Berlin, which sort of went down like a lead balloon with some people, but I just thought it was hilarious. The tour, I just loved it. It was great fun. Played some good stuff, and I became. That's really when I became really close friends with Trev, And everybody, I just had a blast. I mean, I traded in my airline tickets and bought a Dodge Ram van.
Wow!
And drove the tour, which was just fantastic. I've still got the van now.
Get out of here! You did?
A loving care, but I've still got it. And you know, by the end of the tour, quite a lot of the guys, like Alan, Trev, and Bill, were in the van with me. So we had an absolute blast. It was great.
Oh my God! So you got to see the country and the real country.
I had a great time. Our truckers were brilliant. They used to say to me, "Listen, we'll tell you where to come off the freeways and off the main roads, and go to this little town, and you'll find a great country store, best food you can find anywhere." And so I went to all these little places and had some of the greatest food. I carried my golf clubs and went and very kindly donated loads of balls to golf courses everywhere that I lost. I just had the most wonderful time.
That is fantastic. Hey, Rick Wakeman is on Saturday, September 21st, so you're going to get the first shot at this if you're around here. This is the opening night of the American part of the Grumpy Old Rockstar Tour at Maryland Hall. This is Annapolis. You'll love Annapolis if you haven't been there in a while.
I've been to Annapolis. Yeah. It's been a little while since I've been.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's still great.
The last time I was there.
Yeah, it's still exactly as cool as ever. And, Rick, it's so great that you're kicking it off here. We'll be there and have a great time with this, man. This is so fun. And, you know, people don't realize how much work you have done. You have done what, yes, is just a piece of the amazing. You've sold millions of records and solo projects, but you also play piano on Changes by David Bowie, and you play on Bang a Gong by T-Rex. I mean, come on, that's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I did all the Hunky Dory album, Life on Mars, and I did Space Oddity with him, which was great.
Wow, yeah.
Did Cat Stevens stuff, and Al Stewart's. One of my favorite things that I did, which obviously I can't do on stage because I don't sing, and can't really be done as an instrumental. You know, I was a great fan of Al Stewart's, and I did quite a lot of stuff with Al Stewart in England, and he did an album called The Orange Album, and there was a track on there called News from Spain. Which I just think is one of the best things that Al Stewart ever did. Yeah, I was really lucky. I played for some great people. Lou Reed, I did Black Sabbath, played with Elton John, did the organ on Mavin Across the Water. It was great fun. And I say Lou Reed, that was an interesting one. One of the fun things I got to do, which Ozzy Osbourne was one of my closest mates, and he invited me over some years ago to New York to do the Osmosis album with him, which I think is just one of the best albums ever.
Is. I played it when it was new. It's great. Absolutely. It is. Hey, Rick, that's so much fun, man. And one more thing. I know that they invited you to join the Spiders of Mars. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it was formed at the same time. I mean, I'd literally just left a Yes rehearsal and accepted the offer to go to you know, I said, yeah, I'd very much like to be a part of this. And then David had asked to see me that evening, so I went to see him and Mick Ronson in Hampstead in North London. And we sat down, and he said, look, I want to have a band. I'm going to call it the Spiders from Mars, and I want you and Mick to put it together and run it. It'll be basically the band that did Hunky Dory, so it'll be Woody Woodman, C. Trevor on bass. And he said, how do you feel about that? And I said, I said, this is really hard. He said, why is that? I said, you are, without a doubt, the most influential person I've ever worked for and always will be. I love your songs. I love your music. Mm-hmm. I'm very proud to be playing on a lot of your stuff. I've just been asked to join Yes. Now, at the time, Bowie was miles bigger than Yes were, certainly in the UK, I think. And he said, well, you've got a decision to make, haven't you? And I said, yeah, I have. So I called him the next day and I said, David, look, I've decided I'm going to join Yes. And he was great. He said, you've made absolutely the right decision.
Wow.
And I didn't know whether he was being kind at the time. And we remained friends. And then we became neighbours in Switzerland. And we used to meet a lot. I say neighbours, we lived on the same mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you live in Switzerland, that's where you live, on a mountain.
Right, yeah.
We used to meet at this club called the Museum Club in Montreux. And we put the world to rights. And it was a few years later, I suppose about 77, 78, we were in there having a drink. And I said, I've got to ask you. I said, when I joined Yes and become part of Spiders, I said, you said that I'd made the right decision. Were you just being kind? He said, no, absolutely you made the right decision. He said, look, there'd be a limit to what you could do with me because it would always be my songs, my things. yeah, you'd have a lot of freedom, a lot of solos, a lot of stuff to play, but you couldn't really be a part of the writing or the direction of how the music was going. And he said that anyway, the truth of the matter is, he said, like my characters that I get, once I get onto a new project, I pick the musicians that I think are right for that project. So, you know, sooner or later, he said, you'd be moving on. Who knows where you would have moved on to or what you would have done. He said, so no, absolutely, you made absolutely the right decision. So that was really nice to hear from Dave. And as I say, he remained a friend, you know, right up to the end. I still did other stuff with him. I did Absolute Beginners with him in the mid-'80s, which was great fun.
Man.
Tremendous guy and still the biggest influence on me I've ever had.
That's incredible. Rick Wakeman, I can't wait to hear the stories at Maryland Hall when you're playing your songs and getting with people personally, man. Get a ticket for this. It's Saturday, September 21st, and it's opening night here. So, Rick, thanks for your time, man. And I hope I can get you some cool air somehow. We'll blow it across the pond.
Brilliant. That would be great, Stace. Thanks.
Hey, man, you take care. We'll see you on Saturday, September 21st. Rick Wakeman, awesome. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks ever so much.
Hey, you take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.